Yeah.
Anyway, I was thinking back to when Sylvia had came in that day and the rest of her family, she was probably, I can only imagine, when I came in, it was very small. But when her family got together, it must have been half of Narcotics Anonymous. Sylvia's our next speaker.
Thank you.
Can you hear me? No, something is wrong because when I get it close to me, it makes the noises.
It's your static electricity. It's your electricity.
Anyway, my name is Sylvia, and I am an addict.
I'm
very grateful as well as nervous. And now I don't have to be nervous because there's no microphone at all. Anyway, I'm grateful to be here. And I want to thank so much Nashville and the History Conference and all that they did and do. And I just need to say that it is just with so much love and kindness and generosity that I have felt since my feet touched the ground at the airport. It just has been a wonderful, wonderful feeling of just such love from all of you. And I thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, Narcotics Anonymous. Okay. In a way, actually, it found me, along with the other program, and also to give credit where credit is due. I was an alcoholic before I ever took any drug. And I was in the county jail as a result of the criminality that goes along and the felonious activities that go along with heroin use. And but that is where the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and soon thereafter to be Narcotics Anonymous. And there is so much gratitude to Alcoholics Anonymous, to alcoholics in the beginning, especially in the valley, the San Fernando Valley, that tried to help us. Not us personally, but addicts. And it's very difficult for anybody, even if they are alcoholics, to try to help addicts that don't realize they've got a problem and they can't stay. It's like wanting something for somebody that doesn't want it. And it's impossible. It can't be done. So that all that has to happen, really, as far as I see it, is to have Narcotics Anonymous, be there, whoever is going to be there, stay there, be consistent, and let them come. Let them come as an attraction. That's my thing, and probably because of my experience with the family. Because when I was trying to promote it to my four brothers, there were six of us, and my sister was the only one that was not an alcoholic or a drug addict. And later on in life, she told me how she just used to wake up with nightmares and wonder, how come not me? Is it going to happen to me later? Or, you know, however that was, but I never got to talk to her about that until way later, and it was a wonderful thing to be able to do that. It was like really kind of amends, because I felt that our lives really had parted us so, but I was very grateful for her. She got out of the family as soon as she could, like 13 years old, and went to live with her girlfriend and their family. And that's what she did to survive. And obviously I didn't have that kind of survival instinct. The four brothers and I just took this road of unhappy destiny, but I'm very grateful for it now because it just took what it took. But for me to have that idea of promotion smashed very early on, was trying to get my brothers to come to Narcotics Anonymous meetings, which they weren't ready for. And it took me a while to have that realization, but also the realization to also think that it was self-serving, because I had fear of people that I didn't know, being of Chicana and Mexican American descent at that time, which I wasn't clear yet in my own head that really I'm an American. You know, all that other kind of stuff was just old wreckage of bias and prejudice on both sides. And so for the steps, I'm extremely grateful to have been able to mature out of that kind of thinking, which the chip on the shoulder is, it's not good. And so I'm grateful for all the pain that I went through to be rid of that. But it was self-serving in that I wanted my brothers to be with me in these meetings so that I could feel more at home. I mean, I'd never been around these people. I never shot dope with them. I didn't, you know, all of that kind of stuff. They just seemed like, you know, white people. You know, I mean, that's how screwy it was at this, as this brown person would think. But I mean, to be brought up pretty much in South Central Los Angeles, where most of us were Chicanos, that's what we were called at that time, and be a minority in a black neighborhood. So having all that to come, you know, like out of the boundaries, like, I mean, the valley, are you kidding? The San Fernando Valley was like, it was like another planet, you know, to me, all of that. So when I really got it that this program cannot be promoted, you can't, it is attraction. And I got it in spades with trying to have my brothers come. And when they came, it was after I let go. After I let go, when I was able to probably really hear myself as I was talking to them, because I'd come home and talk to them about what people had shared, you know. So I was like listening for five of us, really. And to have that, I finally heard myself, finally heard how it works. And it is an individual trip. And so I was able to, when one of my brothers then got so sick and tired of hearing me. He, at that time, we didn't have a book in Narcotics Anonymous. So, and at that time, I was almost going around with the big book everywhere I went. That was my, like, my security blanket. And he threw it at me. Told me to get the hell out of the house, you know, threw my big book at me. And hey, I got it. Okay, you know. And went with whatever emotions that there is, but it was never, ever that, like, sadness kind of thing that people can't get here. It truly is attraction, and that's what I have to be even today, to have that, and know that each individual is on their road. And they'll either make it in this experience or they won't. But for me to have any kind of pity for them, this, I'm just speaking for myself, and that's like a reminder to me. Obviously, you know I'm only speaking for myself because nobody speaks for Narcotics Anonymous. But to know that principally, that it isn't just a chant that said in a meeting, principles before personality. Because when you, as you stay around and get it more, you realize that it's really difficult to do that. It's not just a little chant, and it's not just a little word, or two words, or three words. When each of us comes to a point where we see that we are placing a personality on a pedestal, it's making problems. It really is making problems for that person, for you, for everyone, because what it leaves out is the true person or persona with a capital P, which is this loving God that comes as a result of doing these steps, which is the 12th step, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. Not any kind of idea or self-knowledge that I had when I came here. That to me is what the program is. And to be able to work that program amidst the fellowship, which is men and women, that Mary Jane spoke of with the infights or whatever they are, as we mature more, it just gets to be, just to let go, be able to state honestly and get rid of your own resentment before you, you know, get in somebody's face or something. And that comes from having gotten in people's faces without an inventory. I'm not speaking from any hilltop. It is truly experience, and also the experience of, after doing that, feeling so bad inside. See, we have that kind of compassion. Whether in any moment we may be hit with some kind of resentment that we can say something, we pay for it afterwards. And that makes the difference, I think, with a drug addict or an alcoholic. That true compassion that wants to be in unity, that wants to see somebody be clean and sober and have this life that comes after the obsession is removed. The merciless obsession to use, to just go against everything that is life, to go for this death thing, is what the steps give us. Give us that power so that we do not have to give in, and then get to get, my experience, to get more maturity about life. Because that was just that obsession with needing to be, to have so much fear about living that death looked like something that I wanted. And that's how I used, with just such a self-destructive death wish in everything. That's how I drank, and that's how I used heroin, with just, there was nothing to live for. I didn't know how to do it, that's why. I did not know how to live until these 12 steps that give anybody and everybody that works them the capacity to face life no matter what happens. And we're all going to go through whatever we go through, because that's just life. That's the way it goes. And to have the comfort of this program and the fellowship and meetings to come to share your experience, strength, and hope because of your joy of what you have. Not necessarily to thinking that, you know, it has to go to this person or that person or whatever. That, for me, to just go there and show what these steps, not because of me, that to show that with that experience, strength, and hope, this is how I got it. This is how you can have it. Nobody better than, nobody up on any kind of a pedestal. I'm grateful for everybody that came before me. But in my heart, I'm very, very grateful to alcoholics that tried to help us, of which Jimmy was one. Mm-hmm. He was one that wanted to help us. He had this desire to do it. And in his little pickup truck, his idea of, he had his fifth of whiskey in the glove compartment that wasn't going to beat him. See, that's a very male kind of a thing. You know, there's no way I could do anything like that. And we had great talks and conversations, and our relationship was a good one. Was a good one. But my whole allegiance is to be principled with what? Because I know Jimmy and Joe and Jane and everybody else does what they do because they have to for themselves, to stay sober, to be here. He says, there's nothing altruistic about this, and if it gets to that point, look out. Mm-hmm. Look out, because there's some kind of something that somebody wants from it. We all do what we do to stay here, to be sober, to be an example that God could and would. And that is where my allegiance will always go and go to, is this power. This power that I feel was divinely authorized through Bill and Dr. Bob, and then came on down the line with, I can't remember what his name, Jack, that tried so, Pose, yeah, that also tried so hard with us addicts. And I'm grateful that they kept trying, and I'm grateful that some of us finally got there in the 60s and stayed. That's all you have to do is just stay. Get the consistency of being at the meeting, staying there, sharing your experience. And it isn't like it was in our days, because there were no rehab houses. I'd have people on my couch. I mean, that's just what you did. That's how you did it. But now it's called to a higher higher level. In a way, it was really easier for us then, because we didn't have all this stuff, yeah. And you just stayed busy with your one-on-one thing, and you didn't have time to sit back and think of, you know, what a great guy I am or whatever like that. It was like just really just work right on the firing line, right on the firing line. And it was such a joy. It really was such a joy, whether they stayed or not, because I felt the joy of being able to give them the idea that with these steps, you can stay clean, you can be here. But no human being can give somebody that. The only requirement is that desire to stop. That can only come from a power greater and outside of any human being, however that comes along, however that happens. And I'm so grateful for the microphone's gone again. So grateful that for me it did happen. I didn't realize it in the Los Angeles County Jail. When the little women would come there to put on the AA meeting, well, I didn't know anything about that. What is that? But I did know they gave you free coffee and brought you cigarettes. They weren't my brand, but they brought cigarettes. And if they couldn't bring those cigarettes, they brought the Bull Durham and the little papers to roll them, and then had those to smoke. But there was something there that I was never, ever able to be open to, which was their kindness of coming there to this god-awful, horrible Los Angeles County Jail. It was ugly. It was an ugly, ugly place. But there, I died to self there. And I'm very grateful for the for all that it took from me. And they came and filled that void. Did I know it at the time? No, I didn't. I was too busy drinking the coffee and smoking the cigarettes, sitting at the back, just wondering, why are they here? What's in it for them? Is it some kind of social work or something? You know, just this conniving kind of thing that it was incapable of thinking of anybody doing something for nothing. I couldn't comprehend that. You do something for nothing? Yeah, nothing, because I can't see it. Was not able to feel it because I had no experience with it. Had no experience with it. Until these steps. And I'm so grateful to those women, and they gave me one of those little white pamphlets of Narcotics Anonymous. That and a directory to AA meetings. And in the 2.5 years that I was there in the county jail, now that may sound like a lot because you're only supposed to get 1 year in the county jail as maximum, but I got 3 bullets running wild. 3 1-year sentences to be there, and then I'm supposed to go on down the road and be tried for some armed robberies and go on to CRC. But I think God in his infinite wisdom realized that there was nothing that the judicial system could do to me any more than my guilt at abandoning my two children, of being totally incapable of being a mother, a sister, a wife. None of it. Just don't know how to do it. See what you started, Mary Jane?
Sorry. Don't make a man cry.
I'll share, Sylvia.
Anyway.
I've got to go to the bathroom.
Go to the bathroom and cry so nobody sees
you. Be with me.
Take me with you. Anyway, to have all of that come to fruition here, you know, in this program with this loving God, anybody, I'm so grateful that it is a power greater than ourselves, because I knew nothing about a loving God. I thought it was punishing like men. It was like a man-like God. Not so. It's a power that comes as a result of the humbling that comes in these steps. Day by day, day by day, I'm never through. Never through. Never going to be through. Until, you know, until it's over, and then it's just another phase, another door opening. But I really, really am so grateful for the program that will keep us here and keep us together, the steps. And I'm grateful that you can never outgrow them. Never outgrow them. There's something new every day. Every day. And the last 20 years of my 41 years of sobriety and cleanliness has been to get a daily reprieve with these steps. I needed to drink every day. I needed heroin every day. So why not a daily reprieve every day? From the self-centered fears of 100 kinds, of 100 forms, to clear them away every day. And they're not the kind that were in the beginning, which when I was still had the obsession or the thought that somehow I'm not going to make this, because I went to a lot of meetings, and at 6 months, clean and sober, in a meeting, before the personal action of the steps, which is the fourth step, that's the first personal action. The rest are mental. Admitting I was powerless and that I needed another manager, which was this power. And then came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. And then to made the decision to turn my will in my life. What is my will in my life? My fears and resentments. That was my will in my life then. And so that the first step of personal action becomes the fourth step. And so then, later on, to run into the man that I married 20 years ago, and get it. Oh, already? Wow, okay. It's amazing how time flies when you're having fun. Anyway, to know that it is in the steps, and that personalities will come and go, including mine, and that the power that will keep us in unification and in unity is this power greater than ourselves. And for that, I'm so grateful to really know that and trust that. Trust in God and clean house. That's what I do. And I'm so grateful for it, because it has just opened up the efficacy of being able to pass these steps on very simply. Not to have to wait for this or wait for that. Anybody that desires it Anybody that wants that can have them, and somebody that has them. And so with that, I'm through. I'm complete and finished. Fini, the end. Thank you.